Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No. Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. It's kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
He's dropping the presentations on and over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
You no longer salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Schmack dogs.
It is the drive at Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Kyle Tosk. Good discussion there, and appreciate the input on the U of I Atlanta Link text line regarding the running back position in the NFL. A lot to digest on that one. It's going to be very interesting to see if there are any changes, but Lindy did point out that the way the CBA has been agreed upon in terms of the contract, I think it's late 2020s, maybe even 2030 before that expires. So
that's right.
Could be a while. Before there is any real change on that front. It's just, it's crazy that, like, the year Austin Eckler had last year and, like, he was being floated around in trade talks this offseason, ultimately didn't get moved. Did he have enough? I would imagine he had value, but it's a different era now. Like, go back 10 years, maybe it's different, but just the fact that the Chargers would want to trade Eckler or just be interested in entertaining that, a guy that's 28, and is reaching that point in his career. I mean, he's had a lot of high usage. He's had injuries. Maybe they see some of the writing on the wall and say, hey, instead of paying him big money, we'd rather maybe see what we can get for him. It's just crazy. And I do want to hit on that with some other backs that are actually readily available right now in free agency when we get into our NFL next question, which let's just do it right now. Here we go. I don't know if we're going to have John Gross on this one.
We're not.
Oh, man. John, you left us.
He mysteriously disappeared.
Crazy.
From the hotkeys list, and then you search through YouTube, and you can't find his angry next question.
Man. What a loss.
I think he just had enough of us.
I guess. I saw him actually on the road when I was traveling for Peach Jam, and he was over at Adidas. He's such a nice dude. I've always really liked John, and we had a nice little talk, and appreciate what John and his staff did for me and helping me get into the Atlanta basketball beat. And always someone that I think anybody, even as a fan, if you're frustrated with the direction of the program over those years, always felt like John was a good guy, and did have a good year one, but just couldn't get a point guard, and unfortunately went downhill from there.
Yeah.
But he's not joining us on the radio either, and that makes me sad. So, John, we'll pour one out for you.
Did you ask him when you saw him? You're like, can you rejoin us on the hotkey list?
I should say, like, I could have, like, with my phone recorded him saying next question there. Maybe we just need to get him on the phone and say, hey, John, can you ask us? Or can you say next question for us? We need to have you part of this segment because you've been a pillar of it for years on years on years. But we'll just have to do it without him. We'll see if we can recover. First question. Let's stick with running backs while we're there, and then we'll pivot into some other talking points. Dalvin Cook is available, 27 years old, free agent. The Vikings elected not to re-sign him. Ezekiel Elliott, he's 28, I think, thereabouts.
Sounds right.
Let's see. I've got it in front of me. Zeke Elliott, 27. Dalvin Cook, 27. Leonard Fournette, 28. Kareem Hunt, 27. All of those guys are free agents as we speak. I think it's the question that I'm getting to. I think the first one is an obvious one. Who's the most attractive of those based on price? I mean, Dalvin Cook, I'm imagining you have to pay up a little bit more for, but he's the most attractive of that group, I would imagine. And the follow-up question I think that I wanted to ask you in particular, Kyle, is that Dalvin has been linked to like three AFC East teams, the Dolphins, the Jets, the Patriots. I saw the Patriots based on, I think, FanDuel or DraftKings as the odds-on favorite to land him. How much would a guy like that move the needle in that division?
I don't think it would a ton. I think all those teams have, again, do they have a Dalvin Cook caliber running back in their backfield? No, but they've got capable guys. They've got guys that are going to keep them afloat. They've got guys that are probably going to, you know, they're going to be good enough. Is Dalvin Cook going to come in and to the Jets who have Breece Hall, who's coming off a great rookie year, or to the Dolphins who have two guys who have both had very productive careers in the NFL and now a rookie that they just drafted in the third round? Is he going to come in and all of a sudden elevate that offense from, you know, three spots or, you know, whatever arbitrary amount you want to put on it? Like, no, I don't think so. I think he'd be a nice addition for any of these teams. If you're telling me the Dolphins could sign him to a one-year deal, I'm all for that. I'd love to watch Dalvin Cook play for my team, but I don't think it's necessarily anything that's going to move the needle enough to say, oh, now the Jets signed him. Now they've clearly passed the Dolphins for second in the AFC East behind the Bills, or the Patriots signed him up. Look out. They're a playoff team now. I just don't see that. And I think that kind of speaks a little bit to the discussion we just had in running backs, their value in today's NFL. And a guy like Dalvin Cook, who a couple years ago was an all-pro running back, now you're talking about, is he really going to make a big difference? I'm questioning that, and that kind of is the whole idea of the current state of the running back position.
He's played six seasons, all for the Vikings. Career earnings so far, $32 million. So we're talking little more than $5 million a year for a guy that's been a four straight season 1,000-yard rusher. Go back to 2020, 1,500 yards on the ground, 16 touchdowns. That's where you have this conversation of something needs to change in terms of the running back market and how we're compensating. Can you do it in terms of incentivizing some of the workload, the production? Again, though, you'd fall in line with having to do that at different positions, I imagine, and that would just end up having owners having to pull more out of their pocketbook, and the rest of the rosters would be less talented because you couldn't afford as many guys. So I don't know. I don't have the answer. Lindy says, why would the Bills not go get him? They could. They're probably the most running back needy of the group in that division. I don't know what their cap situation looks like, but that would be interesting, and that would make an already daunting offense be even more so. I am biasedly saying, as a Ramondre Stevenson fantasy owner in a dynasty league, please do not sign Dalvin Cook for the Patriots.
Yeah.
That would not make me too happy for sure, but I don't know. Do you think that the Patriots will fork over that money like they didn't for DeAndre Hopkins? I don't know what's going on there in New England. They're not doing a great job of putting the best situation around Mac Jones in what seems like a pivotal year three.
I don't really see it. I thought them being in on Hopkins made some sense, but also I didn't really see the value of that he would see going there, and then he chooses the Titans, and I think to myself, well, actually, I'd probably take the Patriots situation with Belichick and whatever, but I don't know. The Patriots have had a lot of rumors around. They've been in on a lot of players this offseason, haven't really done a whole lot, and so I don't know if they're going to. I think they're kind of just going to stand pat, and to me, they're the clear fourth-place team in that division right now.
Before we move on, let me phrase it this way. Would you agree that Dalvin Cook's the most valuable of the group of free agents, even considering you might have to pay more of a price for him?
For sure.
Outside of him, would you rather have Ezekiel Elliott, Leonard Fournette, or Kareem Hunt?
I would probably – my answer is going to be based on kind of the role that he's played here recently. I'd like a Kareem Hunt in my team. I think the role that he's played for the Browns, he's been a high-level pass catcher, a phenomenal complement to one of the best running backs in football, and Nick Chubb. They've coexisted very well and complemented each other very well. I think he could fit on any team. I think you're signing a Zeke, you're signing a Fournette. Those guys are more bell cow guys that they're going to expect a lot of carries. I think Kareem Hunt could fit a specific role in an offense that these other guys probably couldn't as well. And he's not the best of that group, but I think he'd in a put a ton of value in these running backs. I like a guy that can kind of fit a more specified role.
I think that's a great point. I do think that Zeke can be one of those touchdown thieves if he goes somewhere similar to like a Jamal Williams. Jamal Williams had a great year last year for the Lions, not to take away and say that he just stole touchdowns, but if he's someone that is like a goal line specialist, not that that's all he'll be limited to, but in particular when you get down there and you want a physical in between the tackles running back and maybe a lesser workload, although it developed that way with the Cowboys based on the way that Tony Pollard was able to run, will make him more effective. I'm not sure. Maybe we've seen the best of Zeke. I'm sure we have, but will we see anything close yet again? Fournette, I feel like he had a down year last year. A guy that could catch some passes out of the backfield, seemed like Brady checked down to him quite a bit, especially that Super Bowl year. And they called him Playoff Lenny for a reason, so he was effective in the playoffs. But
yep,
I guess I would go reluctantly Zeke as a second guy, not as my premier back. Man, that music ran out. It wasn't as long.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was going with it. Like, I guess you have to view these guys as number twos now. But like, I think of Ezekiel Elliott. I think of Fournette. I think of bell cow number one guy. Yeah. I think Kareem Hunt now has proven that he can be that change of pace, that guy that you can check it down to, a high level pass catching back. And so I feel like he kind of fits a lot of different places.
Yeah, that's a good point. I know that Kyle Shanahan usually likes to have a bunch of running backs. Why don't you put like Zeke behind McCaffrey?
Can you imagine saying like 3 years ago, in a couple of years, there's going to be Christian McCaffrey and Ezekiel Elliott will be in the same backfield?
No, that sounds wild. All right, we've talked a ton of running back. Let's move on to a different position as we gear this thing back up. Sorry it wasn't as long of music, but it does put us in a football mood. Let's keep it rolling. This is the point when John Gross says, next question. All right. NFL.com every year does their top 100 players in football, and they did a cool little feature here recently this week that I saw on their front page today, that they ranked the number one players of every year, put them all in a pool, and then ranked them. So let me ask you this, Kyle. It's very quarterback heavy. The top four are all quarterbacks. Let me ask you if they got this order right based on your pecking order all time. Tom Brady number one, Peyton Manning number two, Patrick Mahomes number three, Aaron Rodgers number four. Is that order as of right now correct?
And that's going back how long?
So over the last 10 years, they said much the best version of each guy, and they ranked them.
Mm-hmm.
Brady, Manning, Mahomes, Rodgers.
I don't have a ton of complaints with that. I think Brady's the clear number one to me. I think you could get into a compelling argument for Mahomes to jump Peyton Manning with some of the things that we've seen there. Now he's got two Super Bowls and he's just ridiculous. But again, you know, you got to see him play out a little bit more. And then Rodgers, I mean, who are the other options? Like who fell fifth on that list? Who is the next quarterback? Just out of curiosity.
Cam Newton was on the board. He was the number one player back in 2016. I remember that. Let's see if I pull up the... Here we go. We have, after Rodgers, you have number 5, Aaron Donald. Number 6, J.J. Watt. That was a while ago. Number 7, Adrian Peterson. Number 8, Lamar Jackson. Number 9, Cam Newton.
Yeah, they got it right. I think they got it right. I think that you can make an argument for Mahomes to jump to the 2 spot. Other than that, I think they got it right.
I think it's right as of right now. I think that you can make some movements that wouldn't have me complaining too much. Like Tom Brady, to me, he's the GOAT. He's the most accomplished quarterback of all time, the most clutch quarterback of all time, in my estimation. Prior to Patrick Mahomes, I always said that Brady was the best of all time. Rodgers was like the most talented quarterback I had ever seen. Peyton Manning's the smartest quarterback I've ever seen in terms of manipulating defense. Always loved watching the Peyton Manning versus Ray Lewis battles. And I think it's just to kind of get a sense of what it's like defending Peyton Manning. Like, listen to what Ray Lewis says about him and having to prepare. And every time he would like sense an audible from Peyton, he would then change his defense and Peyton would then navigate back. And like, it was quite a chess match. And Patrick Mahomes, after Rodgers, has shown me that he's the most talented quarterback I've ever seen.
I was going to say.
And now he has a leg up on Rodgers because he has 2 Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is correct on that front. And let me, before we move on, how far, or let's say if you were to guess right now, where do you think Mahomes will end up at the end of his career on this list? Let's say all time, Brady, Manning, Mahomes, Rodgers. He's already ahead of Rodgers based on this list. Will Mahomes be above Manning? Will he be above Brady when it's all said and done?
It's hard for me to believe anyone is going to top Tom Brady. If anyone's going to do it, it's Patrick Mahomes. He's got 2 already. He's in an offense that is just ridiculous with a coach that he's done such great things with, and I think there'll be a match for the next 10 years.
It's really just a question of longevity, right?
It's a question of longevity. I think if Mahomes plays into his 40s or close to it, I think he becomes the greatest quarterback ever. I'm going to say that. I think he wins 2-3 more Super Bowls minimum.
Mm-hmm.
And then it comes the argument of, you know, if he starts getting to that 5-6 range and Brady's at 7, and then it's like, well, does that one really matter? There's going to be the Brady fans. It's going to be the Jordan LeBron all over again if Mahomes keeps climbing. I think he will. I think the Chiefs are going to win at the very minimum multiple more Super Bowls. And I think that it's tough though. Brady, man.
I
almost am going back on what I'm saying. I think Mahomes is going to be very minimum number 2 ever when he's done. I think he's trending in that direction, in a spot where he's going to have a ton of success going forward. But then, yeah, it's
I don't think he'll
so
end up
tough.
With as many rings as Brady.
I don't think he's going to reach 7, but I almost don't feel like it's going to end up mattering.
Yeah.
If he gets to 5 or 6.
I think, yeah, over the full the trajectory right now, and we give him a full healthy career into late 30s, 40, he's probably number 1, because I would even say at this version of Mahomes for a long period of time is a more talented quarterback than Tom Brady, and probably in the same situation. I think, you know, Tom obviously benefited from good defenses, being there in New England with Belichick and everything. Yes, as his career progressed, he became more of a dynamic player at the position. You had the season with Randy Moss, you had, you know, Wes Welker, and he started putting up more carry your team type of stats at quarterback, and then went to Tampa and was able to throw for like 50 touchdowns in a season.
Which Mahomes has already done.
Which Mahomes is already doing. So I almost feel like he's ahead of the curve in like carry your team type of stuff. So, but it feels a little premature.
It feels wrong to say, but it also doesn't feel crazy that we could project that. I mean, how old's Mahomes right now? He's 28, 27?
I'd have to look that up. Probably, that sounds right.
I mean, he's got so much left in an organization that I expect, mainly because of him, but also because
he's 27.
I mean, yeah, it's just you project him to play 12, 13 more years minimum, and obviously health has to stand up and everything like that, but it's tough to imagine that he's not going to win 2-3 more Super Bowls minimum. Could reach Brady. I don't think it'll happen. If anyone's going to, it's him.
Yeah.
And like you said, I think just at the end of the day, the eye test, the talent, some of the things he does on the football field, he's as talented a quarterback as ever played. And so I think he's going to be right up there. And it might become a Jordan LeBron heated discussion where you got two sides. And I think it might be trending at least in that direction.
I like how you put it there. Is Manning underrated at all at this point? Is he getting a little underrated or no? Is he someone that I think Rodgers, and we got to catch a break after this, Rodgers winning back-to-back MVPs late in his career helped him, but at the same time, it set up huge disappointments in the playoffs that kind of really knocked him from taking that next step in this group, because you went to the postseason. He had the year. They lost at home to Tampa. That was a really good Tampa team. Tom Brady, of course. After that, they hosted a playoff game against the Niners, lost to Jimmy G. That offense was terrible in that game. I know that the weather was bad, but you can't lose that game if you're MVP and have Devontae Adams and everything. And last year, I know rookie wide receivers and whatnot, but a disappointing season for him. So he's had some of these lack of clutch moments and not getting as far in the postseason. Is it all on his plate? Not necessarily. No, I would say no. Peyton Manning also had some shortcomings in the postseason, not getting to the Super Bowl and then not having as many cracks at it as Tom Brady. Again, I think Brady's situation, especially earlier on for his first couple, helped him a lot more, and there was more on Peyton Manning's plate. But I think that is a separator, and the fact, again, to kind of revisit, is Mahomes having two definitely puts him over Rodgers. And I mean, he's right there with Peyton Manning, because Peyton Manning has two as well. Does he have two or does he have one?
He has two.
Yep. Four Super Bowl appearances, went 2-2. Yep.
How much do you think that last Super Bowl that he won with Denver influences in a year that he wasn't all that good to ride off into the sunset with a Super Bowl? How much do you think that changes the view around Peyton Manning's career?
What hurts him is that it felt like he got carried to the finish line.
Exactly.
He wasn't that good that year.
But I feel like it's still, like you said.
Yeah, it helped. It helped.
There's a big difference between one ring and two.
Yes.
And it's a talking point in any debate about legacy. The first thing that you point to is, well, how many championships? Especially in basketball and football, where a quarterback or a star player can really carry a team. But I feel like that part gets magnified a little too much with him. I think there's no denying how great of a player he was and what he put. I think my only issue is that when Peyton Manning comes up, I think people put too much weight into that second ring that he just wasn't good that year.
He wasn't.
And can you really stand on that as, hey, Peyton Manning went to Denver and won a second ring? Well, I mean, how much did he really contribute to that? I think a lot of guys would have won in that same situation. So yeah, that's my only thing that I'd say on that front. But I think I don't know if he's been underrated. I think he gets the proper amount of recognition when you look at these all-time quarterback lists, because he's usually in there in the top 3-5.
Yeah. I know that on the front end of that Denver stint, and even the Super Bowl they lost, they got doors
blown
off.
He did win an MVP in Denver before the Super Bowl, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, they lost the Seahawks the year before that, and that might have been his MVP year. But, I mean, even his first year back, when you're like, oh, the neck injury, and he leaves Indy, and does he have anything left? Is he going to take a hit and his career be over? I mean, he was phenomenal. Demaryius Thomas and was Emmanuel Sanders on that team too? But
sounds right to me.
He was ridiculously good for a handful of years there in Denver. His last year, his arm was pretty much shot. And on the note of, and I know we're going long here, the note of like sailing off in the sunset, we're talking about, if you're just tuning in, you're like, you know, why are they only, you got these, Kyle in particular, a younger dude. I'm not as young now. I'm in my early 30s. But why are they only focused on these this recency bias of this last 10-year window. Now, I've seen on the text line some mentions of Steve Young, Montana, John Elway. John Elway was able to sail off into the sunset, back-to-back Super Bowl winner before, you know, retiring, and that really helped vault him up. A really talented quarterback didn't have the rings until the end. But we're talking about, based on the NFL.com article, the last 10-year window of these quarterbacks. But I'd put Brady over anybody over the course of time. And I do think that Mahomes has a chance to be that guy when all is said and done. We're going to catch a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about another quarterback, not necessarily, definitely not actually, on that level. But early in his career for my Chicago Bears, Justin Fields had an interesting thing to say earlier this week. He got crushed for it by Colin Coward. We'll play that, and then we will react as we talk a little more NFL as we go along. This is The Drive.
Every industry has specialists, like Alan here. He knows radiators.
Radiators, I love them. Don't even talk to me about brakes or fuel lines.
Just radiators.
Radiators.
Sally is a specialist in cakes.
I think pies are an abomination.
Really? Pies?
Yuck.
Then we have Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. You know what they're great at? Appliances. Nothing else. No TVs, no computer printers, no radiators.
Who's got a problem with radiators?
Nobody, Alan, but you can't get one at Dick Van Dyke Appliance World.
Too bad, they're missing out.
I'm Dennis Regan, chairman of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. All we do is appliances. And when that's all you do it better than anyone else. Our associates on our sales floors know more about them, our delivery people are better at installing them, and our technicians are better at fixing them. All right here in Central Illinois. Wow!
I can't believe you don't like pies, though.
What do I look like, some kind of a peasant?
No.
Cakes are really the best thing.
Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. When you buy from us, you get the whole store.
Illini family, this is Josh Whitman. Illinois football is coming off its best season in more than a decade, which makes this the perfect time for you to join us at Memorial Stadium. Single game tickets are now on sale with special preseason prices. From now until August 7th, tickets will be the lowest you'll see all season long, and that is our family first promise. Don't miss out on big games like Penn State, Wisconsin, and Nebraska. Get your tickets at FightingIllini.com before August 7th. ILL.
Join the Champaign Parks Foundation for a fun evening of food, socializing, and entertainment at the iHotel and Conference Center with Champaign Park District Youth Scholarship Fund to benefit from the new Ties and Tennies Gala. It's coming up on Thursday, September 14th, and you'll enjoy dueling pianos, a plated dinner, complimentary wine and beer, live and silent auction, and featured speaker Team USA Paralympian sitting volleyball player Nicole Millage. Learn more details. Visit champagneparks.org.
Carl works every day to improve the health of community members across the region, and it would not be possible without team members like Sierra Poole, phlebotomy lab lead at Carl Foundation Hospital.
I love working at Carl because of the togetherness among the phlebotomy team and the opportunity to advance within the department.
If you're looking for an opportunity to serve your community like Sierra in a supportive environment with opportunities for growth, visit carl.org/careers.
Hi, I'm Tyler Weaver, president of Carpet Weavers Flooring and Furniture Gallery. It's time to come home to Carpet Weavers. We don't want you to just like your new floors. We want you to love them. From waterproof floors and carpet to furnitures and design advice, we've got a team of experts on your side. We'll get you the best price and the best quality products. And complete your home with furniture and accessories. Buy it all with free financing, too. Come home to Carpet Weavers, where floors, furniture, and family meet.
I've got to clean out this garage. Let's see. What's the cheapest and easiest dumpster service in our area?
Here's what I found. The doggy bag.
Think she's broken. I'm not looking for takeout. Siri, try again.
The doggy bag from Bulldog Disposal in Mahomet.
Doggy bag? What's that?
If you got junk that needs to go, but you don't want the hassle of having an enormous dumpster delivered, grab a doggy bag. Keep it as long as you need. They'll come take it away. For more information, just visit BulldoggyBag.com.
That's BulldoggyBag.com.
Kelsey Furniture in downtown Tuscola sells Tempur-Pedic beds. What's it like?
I'm going to tell you right now, Stevie, that thing is the best thing I've ever slept on in my life. My wife and I both have said we've never had better night's sleep. And the people at Kelsey's were fantastic. Brian is the guy that helped us. You know, as much as I did my research, he has a world of knowledge about beds themselves. Oh, man, it's like sleeping on a cloud, man.
Kelsey Furniture, downtown Tuscola.
It's Emily Atkins. She owns something called Happy Healing. Tell me about what you have planned coming up.
September 9th, we have our spiritual spa day. So we have three wellness practitioners coming. We have Brenda, who does sound bowl healings with crystal bowls. We have Drea, who does facials. And we have Emily, who does massages. So we'll be selling tickets, and so you'll have a half hour of each, and then I'll be there and we can make candles too.
So it's going to be just a very relaxing, wonderful time together.
Absolutely, absolutely. We only have 12 tickets available.
And it's what, $400 or $500?
No, it's only $200.
For all of that?
Exactly.
So you're talking facial, massage, the crystal bowls.
Yes.
Which is going to relax and maybe put them to sleep.
Exactly.
And then they might make candles.
Exactly. And you'll walk out feeling like the best version of yourself. You can go to the website, happyhealing.us, or my Instagram, happyhealing_center.
Have you been to the Long Branch Steakhouse? The Long Branch Steakhouse happens to be a family-owned restaurant in the small town of Gifford that just happens to serve up incredible steaks. We're talking fresh, hand-cut steaks served to perfection. So if your fantasy is to have a great meal in a great family restaurant in a great small community, visit the Long Branch Steakhouse. Oh, and don't forget to ask for the frog dressing, the Brussels sprouts, and the incredible macaroni and cheese. The Long Branch Steakhouse, located in beautiful downtown Gifford.
Does your home have those annoying outdoor spigots that leak and have no pressure? Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing can help. Install a new Woodford outdoor spigot so your gardens and flowers don't suffer in this summer heat. Make sure your home's outdoors look great and call Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing at 217-841-4728. Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing. Your home's best friend.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Mike Greenberg. Catch Lon Tay and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Back on the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5, Derek Piper, Kyle Tosk. Appreciate all of those that have weighed in on the U of I Atlanta Link text line. Let's get to a few of those before we get on to the next question in. Next question. You can call me Sal, says Manning over Rodgers all day. Randy says Mahomes gets hurt every year, can't see him playing until he's 40. We had another.
He gets hurt, but he plays through it every time. He is as tough a guy as there is in the league. Now, I know a lot of guys have been that way, but I don't know if I agree with that.
Phillip says Burrow is going to be better than Mahomes.
No. Burrow's outstanding.
I love Burrow. I do. But I would not put him.
No, he's just not.
In being better than Patty Mahomes, even though I do think that Burrow's getting slept on a little bit still. I think that I'd put Burrow over Josh Allen.
I would too.
Mr. Madden cover this year. I think Joey B deserved that if you were making the argument one versus the other.
It is going to – Burrow versus Mahomes in the AFC for the next 10 years is going to be great.
Oh, I mean, absolutely.
It's going to be – you're going to see – you've already seen that play out already, and those two guys are still earlier in their careers. I mean, that's going to be the next Brady Manning. I mean, it's just – it's already been – to that level in the matchups they've had. So it's going to be really fun to see those two go at it. But
yeah,
the thing with Burrow for me is he's got to climb the Mahomes mountain, and I don't know how. I think he's going to do it less often than he is, or more often than not. An easier way to say it is more often than not, I think Mahomes is going to get the better of him,
mm-hmm.
and that's going to really prevent him from doing anything. So
they're 1-1 against each other AFC title games, right?
Yep.
You had Burrow advance to the Super Bowl 2 years ago. Last year, Mahomes was able to do it and get KC to the Super Bowl and, of course, win it. Throw in Justin Herbert. Throw in Josh Allen. Lamar Jackson's still a factor. The AFC has some dudes, man.
The AFC's loaded. We talked about that when we were previewing. The AFC is loaded.
Yep.
And it's going to be fun to watch. Hopefully my Dolphins can make some noise.
217 current quarterback power rankings. Mahomes, number one. Mahomes on one leg, number two. Joe Burrow, number three. Allen or Herbert, take your pick, number four. That's pretty well put. Allen or Herbert for you?
Allen.
Allen still
got it. Yeah. Herbert hasn't proven it yet. He's really talented.
Yes.
Needs to win.
Yep. I'm 100% with you. Although I'm very, very high on Justin Herbert's upside, but I would give it to Josh Allen. All right, let's get back into it. On the quarterback note, Justin Fields says he's one of the top five running quarterbacks of all time. I did not pull up the clip if there was a clip to be had. I don't know who else he put in the conversation. I was listening to someone else talk about it. In fact, I'll tell you who it was, Colin Cowherd, and he mentioned Cam Newton, Steve Young. I don't know if he put Lamar Jackson in there, so maybe those are guys that Justin Fields ended up listing off. But let's play Colin Cowherd's reaction. He didn't love the thought from Justin Fields. Thought it was a little too...
Here, I got
the actual quote.
List.
Okay.
Yeah. He said, I'm definitely in the top five. Or he was asked the question about his top five running quarterbacks of all time. He said, I definitely think I'm in the top five. And then in no order, his top five was Mike Vick, Cam Newton, Lamar Jackson, Steve Young himself.
Hmm. I don't hate the list. No, I get it. Like, he is not among that group in particular. I mean, Steve Young's a Super Bowl winner. Lamar Jackson's an MVP. Cam Newton's won an MVP. He's going into his third year. I think the context, and we can talk more about this after I play the Colin Cowherd clip. The context is a lot of athletes, they're put themselves in the conversations of, like, they're supposed to be confident in their abilities. So sometimes you can take their words, and yeah, it sounds crazy, but why wouldn't he view himself as a really, really good? I mean, he's a dynamic rusher, and the stats actually back up. He had one of the best rushing seasons of anybody all time at quarterback. So I understand where he's coming from. If you're talking full package of a running quarterback, he has a lot more to prove. But Colin Cowherd didn't like his boldness in coming out and saying it before year three, hey, I'm one of the best of all time as far as that category. Here is a snippet of what Colin Cowherd said earlier this week.
I know Chicago will go crazy. But right now, Justin Fields a bust. He's 5-20, 10-game losing streak, passer rating in the 70s. I mean, you let me ask you right now, last year, was he not easily the worst quarterback in the division? It's not Aaron, wasn't Goff, wasn't Kirk Cousins. He was the fourth best quarterback last time this division played. Am I wrong? Now, he may be better than Jordan Love, but right now he doesn't have Goff. Goff's been to a Super Bowl. He's not Kirk Cousins. Right now he's a YouTube quarterback. His highlights are great. 79 passer rating, 5-20. Not saying I'm bailing. Still think it's 55-45 he's going to succeed.
There you have it.
Colin Cowherd doesn't disappoint with some of his videos, man.
Look, he's as good as it gets in delivery and having a take. It's not a sports media business to have lukewarm
takes. Some of this stuff.
Yeah, I wouldn't think.
Come on.
And he's come out strong against a number of players. Like, he references in that video, if you want to go and watch it on YouTube, says he said some of the same stuff in terms of, like, overconfidence and cockiness about Baker Mayfield, mentioned Johnny Manziel. Like, the fact that he's putting Justin Fields in the same conversation as Johnny Manziel is kind of laughable in my estimation. But the idea of him being a bust so far, to me, is comical. Like, that doesn't even make any bit of sense to me. Yeah, you can slap the record on his name. Like, I mean, quarterbacks have to wear the record of their teams, 5-20 as a starter, but look at who he had to work with last year. Number one, on his own side of the ball, widely thought of to have one of the worst offensive lines in football, took the most sacks in the league. I think it was an astronomical number of, like, was it 55? Yeah, 55 sacks last year. Again, also on that note, widely thought to have one of the worst receiving cores in the NFL. Darnell Mooney and Cole Kmet, the best pass catchers in that offense. He made the Bears' offense tick last year. They were competitive in games. They put up decent numbers in terms of scoring, especially the second half of the season. And if you're just talking running, he ran for 1,100 yards last year on the ground. That's the second most in a single season of anybody in the history of the NFL. So in saying, you know, talking about top five running quarterbacks, no, he's not as accomplished as the other guys he put on that list. But in terms of being dynamic as a runner, like Lamar Jackson is the only guy who's rushed for more yards in a season than Justin Fields. And when you compare some of his numbers to other like quarterbacks, he pretty much had, the Bears pretty much had Michael Vick last year. When you looked at Michael Vick's second season, which last year was Justin Fields' second season, Mike Vick last year, or second year, 55% completion percentage, 16 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, quarterback rating 81.6, ran for, what was it, 800 some yards, I believe. 800 yards, 8 touchdowns. He was fourth in the MVP voting. You go to Justin Fields last year, actually beat Mike Vick in terms of completion percentage. Yes, Vick threw for a handful of more yards. The touchdown to interception ratio went to Vick by a little bit because Fields had double-digit picks, 17 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. But more rushing yards and I think just as many, if not more, just as many touchdowns, 8 touchdowns on the ground. The Bears had second-year Michael Vick at quarterback last year. I'd take that all day. Mm-hmm. But I get it. There is, and the line about he's a YouTube quarterback, okay, whatever. And you could even say, I think some people out there would say, you know, Michael Vick was a YouTube quarterback for a lot of his career, didn't do a lot of winning, particularly in the postseason. Yes, early in his career, like went to Lambeau, beat Brett Favre, and that snapped a long postseason win streak for the Packers at home. And then he had a spectacular year post, you know, getting out of jail and going to Philly. And that was a really, really good team. Got beat by Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs to end what was a spectacular season resurgence for Michael Vick. But I think in comparison to Mike Vick, he favors pretty well or fares pretty well. I think in comparison to Jalen Hurts pre-A.J. Brown, you got a lot of similar statistics on that as well. And Jalen Hurts' second year, very similar statistically on paper as Justin Fields last year. Can he take that year three step that Hurts took? He got A.J. Brown. The Bears brought in D.J. Moore. We'll see if that happens. But I think it's preposterous to suggest that Fields is a bust. And I don't have a huge issue with him putting himself in that list. Yes, I'm a little biased. I'm a Bears fan. Do I necessarily, if you want to talk about the full spectrum of accomplishments through that list, he doesn't deserve to be on it. But in terms of pure running ability, I think he does.
The coward thing is just insane. It doesn't even make sense to me. The bust label is when you were drafted high and you don't pan out.
Zach Wilson's
career
a bust.
Doesn't pan out. You don't label somebody a bust after they improve from year one to year two in a terrible situation. That's not even the meaning of the term. The term is being used incorrectly. You can't be a bust right now. You have to be a bust because your career didn't pan out. You have to there's the bust label, to me at least, it's not an ever-changing thing. You either are a bust or you're not a bust. Justin Fields is not a bust. He's heading into year three, coming off of 2 years in an awful situation for a young quarterback to be in, and still, like you said, making the most of it in terms of breaking rushing records and making the Bears offense at least semi-watchable last year.
Yeah.
And showed marked improvement from year one to year two as a passer and just as an overall playmaker in that offense. And now he's going into year three with a DJ Moore and with more help and with a better offensive line around him. It's just insane to me that a guy with that platform can use that term for a guy like Justin Fields. It's ridiculous to me. And yeah, I think the sky's the limit for him this year. When you talk about the offense the Bears have put around him now, the fact you get him a DJ Moore, Chase Claypool's in the offense for a second straight year, and you draft a tackle, you sign who they signed a offensive lineman as well, I believe.
I think it was Nate Davis
from the Bills.
Guard, yeah.
And so now you've given him some help, and now's the big year now for him to really prove himself. But we can't say he's not going to do that. We haven't seen it happen yet. Mm-hmm. And it's undeniable how talented he is running the football. He's as dynamic of a rusher, really one of the more dynamic rushers ever. So to me, that I don't see a huge problem with his quote either, because I think of sheer rushing ability and sheer ability with the ball in his hands from the quarterback position in the open field, I think he's as good at it as there has been, other than maybe a Lamar Jackson, maybe a Michael Vick, maybe a Steve Young. I think he's climbing that list, and with a couple more years of the production that he had last year, maybe he never reaches that number because he actually has more help. Mm-hmm. But with of similar caliber seasons rushing the football, I think there'll be no problem putting him in a group with like a Lamar Jackson or a Cam Newton or whoever it may be, because it's not like those guys had 14 years of it or anything like that. I mean, they had shorter they've had shorter amounts of time doing it, but yeah, I can't get behind calling a guy that's been in the league for 2 years in an awful situation a bust. I mean, that's not even the meaning of the term to me.
No, and I looked up because I was trying to find comparisons. And if you want to put him in terms of like how Cam Newton was viewed early on in his career, Cam started off really well and very early in his career was able to become one of the best offensive weapons in football. But you know, his rookie season, he went into a situation where he had Steve Smith and then a two-headed monster running back, D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart. Like, it's completely different to compare what Justin Fields had last year. And look, the Bears were trying to lose. They dismantled their defense. They traded Khalil Mack. They traded Robert Quinn. They traded Roquan Smith. They tried to lose. They gave up a bunch of points. I remember that game against the Dolphins. That was one of the games of the season for Fields. Fields ran nuts in that game. The Bears lost 35-32 against one of the best offenses in football because of Justin Fields. So it really worked out awesome for the Bears that they lost games. They got the top pick. They were able to turn that into more help around Fields, and Fields took steps forward last year. So I think it worked perfectly. Yes, when you dig in, I'm still a little like, it's a little jarring to look at like the passing yards per game. Like, he threw for 170 yards per game last year. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, based on what I was looking up before the show, there's only one game all last year where he eclipsed 200 yards passing. Like, that's a little jarring. Yes, context of like the weapons that he had to throw to. But even if I gave Colin Coward his earlier quote in the segment where he even says, I think he's closer to a bust than a star, I would even disagree with that. I think he's closer to being a star at quarterback than a bust. But to say he's a bust already is crazy. So,
yeah, I'm interested to see this year. Obviously, you're the Bears fan and you're excited about what he can be this year. I'm interested as a neutral person just to see what he looks like this year with more opportunities. Like, you bring up those numbers, a guy that only eclipsed 200 passing yards. Well, what do you want him to do when four guys are coming at him? He's running for his life. Would you rather have him set and fire into traffic? Or would you rather have him make a play with his feet and use his dynamic playmaking ability to make something out of that play and pick up 10 yards on the ground? Or would you rather have him throw it into traffic and show that he can throw? Or, you know, it's just the Bears were terrible offense last year. They had no talent around them last year. Now you have some of it. You have an improved offense. You have improved pieces around him. You have a guy that's a fringe wide receiver one, maybe can be a bona fide wide receiver one in DJ Moore. Now is the time to judge. And if he looks the same as a passer as he did last year, then we can start to have those discussions. Yeah. But it's ridiculous after 2 years in what the Chicago Bears offense has been, year one of which was Matt Nagy.
I know,
it
was horrible. I think back to the Browns game, his first start, they got him killed. They were running
to make any statement like that.
5 and 7 step drops with no added protection when you had one of the worst offensive lines.
I remember watching that game against the Browns where it's just like, oh, Justin Fields back for his first pass attempt. Oh, and he goes down.
Myles Garrett had like 4.5 or 5 sacks in one game. The fact that the Bears haven't gotten him killed is like, I'm good with that, period. Let alone the fact that he ran for the second most yards.
He's part of the reason for it because he refuses to go down.
Yeah.
And that's a skill that, maybe he won't rush for 1,100 yards, but his ability to make something out of nothing and to keep plays alive and to turn dead plays into positive gains, I mean, that's something that really there's not a lot of guys other than the list that he gave that have had the ability to do that like he has.
Randy says on the U of I Line Link text line, after a 5-win season, the Bears will be drafting a quarterback next year. I disagree.
He and Colin Coward would have some things to agree upon, I guess.
I disagree. All right, we're due for one more break. We'll wrap up the show when we return. This is The Drive.
Want unbeatable prices on your next furniture purchase, but also seeking that local hometown feel? Look no further than Kelsey Furniture in Tuscola. Customers rave about their friendly, established staff, as well as their great selection, amazing prices, and second-to-none delivery service. They're a third-generation local business, and they've always got your best interests at heart. Find the look you love for less. Open 9 to 5 Monday through Saturday, but always available online at kelseyfurniture.com. That's kelseyfurniture.com.
Illini fans, take the opportunity to head down to Game Day Spirits Green Street location this summer. Shop their awesome selection of Fighting Illini merchandise. While you're there, shop some of their awesome buy one, get one free t-shirt designs, as well as their Nike section and so much more. With new styles coming in daily, there's sure to be something for every Illini fan. Shop at the corner of Neal and Kirby in Champaign, 6th and Green in Campustown, and online 24/7 at GameDaySpirit.com. Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop.
Urbana's Market at the Square has been cultivating a vibrant scene in CU since 1979. Get to know your farmers bringing locally harvested honey, crafts, jewelry, art, fresh cut flowers, plus produce including fresh leafy greens and root vegetables, fresh baked treats, and a wide selection of proteins. Going on now, every Saturday, 7 a.m. till noon, rain or shine at Illinois and Vine, it's Urbana Market at the Square. Find Urbana Market on Facebook or urbanamarket.org.
Let Max Twin City Recycling pay you for your junk metal items. As the weather begins to heat up, now is a great time to put cash in your pocket for the steel, copper, brass, and aluminum items you've been meaning to get rid of. We've recently added a large concrete pad to make unloading quicker and cleaner for our customers. Visit us on North Lincoln Avenue, just north of I-74, or at maxrecycling.com.
If you're looking for a pre-owned car, truck, or van, look no further than Sarah Champagne. You know them for their five incredible vehicle brands, the BMW, Honda, Subaru, Buick, and GMC. But did you know they also have over 100 used cars, trucks, and vans in stock right now? And at Sarah Champagne, they will take care of you. You can trust them. And prices begin at under $2,000. Stop by Sarah Champagne. They're Burwash and Savoy. Or go online, sarahchampagne.com. That's Sarah, S-E-R. RRAChampagne.com.
Racing, racing, racing. Farmer City Raceway is your local award-winning dirt track with exciting Friday night lights illuminating the late models and modifieds going for the checkered flag for the win. Make arrangements to get in on the camping with great price points for pit passes and young fans, as well as veterans. Friday nights, the hot laps start at 6:30, then qualifying and racing action. Don't miss out on the fun at Farmer City Raceway. For details, visit FarmerCityRacing.com. You'll buy the whole seat, but you'll only need the edge.
You spend half of your life indoors. That's half of your life underneath your roof. Who do you trust to keep you safe and dry underneath it? The name to remember is Roof Doctors. Roof Doctors understands the harsh weather conditions that your roof endures because they're a family and locally owned business. From your community, for your community, the doctors who make the house calls, Roof Doctors, at roofdoctors.com or phone 328-7529. Rest easy under a roof that's been treated by Roof Doctors.
At Busey Bank, we're proud to serve our local community through financial guidance and community investment. Offering sound advice and actionable insight, Busey builds financial strength, supports homeownership dreams, and offers customized lending strategies, connecting with our neighbors to build stronger communities. Busey Bank, Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Mike Greenberg. Catch Lon Tay and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
All right, we're out of here. Cardinals baseball coming up. Cardinals and Cubs, 7:05, first pitch. Marcus Stroman against Steven Matz. Oh, boy. We'll hear it here. Cardinals broadcast, ESPN 93.5, as well as if you want to hear the Cubs, you got 105.9 as an option, our sister station as well. Cards Cubs will do battle at Wrigley tomorrow afternoon. We will not be on, so we'll wish you a great week.